Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hi, everybody. This is Lauren again, and you are listening to episode 102, Inner Power to Heal with Brandi Gilmore. This is an amazing, mind-blowing episode about healing and even talking about abundance. But before we jump into today's beautiful episode, I want to take a second to remind you guys that one, Witchy Wellness Radio is sponsored by Magnesium. Living the Good Life Naturally Magnesium by Kristen Bowen is my go-to transdermal magnesium for supporting stress relief response, my digestive system, my endocrine system, all of the systems. It's my go-to. So head over to the show notes. And if you want to learn more, go to episode 73, that's 73 with Kristen Bowen, and use code WITCHY, W-I-C-T-H-Y, for 10% off of your purchase. And secondly, I am hosting a new masterclass, a free 1-hour masterclass where you get to learn the 3 ways to transform your own fears into freedom and live the dream life that you so deserve and want. It is happening August 19th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Head over to anxioustoaligned.com/masterclass or click on the show notes to reserve your spot today. And back to today's show. You guys are going to love today's episode with Brandi Gilmore. She is the host of her own podcast, Heal Yourself, Change Your Life. And she has a PhD in natural medicine. We're talking about connecting to your inner power to heal, discover why meditation doesn't work for healing. And we talk all about abundance and why it's possible for every single one of us, as well as how Brandi demonstrates back-to-back live healings under thermal medical equipment, which is something that's never been done before. So please enjoy episode 102, Your Inner Power to Heal with Brandi Gilmore. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. And again, I am your host, Lauren, and this is a show you get to learn how your body is not in the way, but actually leading the way. And our beautiful guest today, Brandi Gilmore, is a shining example of that. And not only that, she will teach you how to do the same. Brandi is a host of the cutting edge podcast, Heal Yourself, Change Your Life, and most known for her incredible ability to help live volunteers get radical life-changing results in just minutes on her show. She even demonstrates back-to-back live healings under thermal medical equipment, which is something that's never done before. That blows my mind. And after healing herself from a wheelchair, walker, and cane, Brandi began sharing the discoveries she's made. She has even given a mind-expanding TEDx talk, which we'll link in the show notes, and has been featured in several documentaries. And today, she works with top celebrities, teachers, classes, and speaks on stage worldwide. I am so excited to have you on the show today. Welcome, Brandi.
Lauren, I am so excited to be here. I just adore you, and I love your energy, and it's such a pleasure to be here with you.
Oh, likewise, likewise, likewise. I know it's like, we got to be mindful of our time today because I know we're going to dive in. It's going to go deep and it's going to go tangential, but it's going to get good. It's going to get juicy.
I can feel it too. It's a good thing. I love it.
Yeah. And I mean, this is my passion too. Like learning, for me, it's learning the true human potential. And I don't think people realize that one, we're capable of connecting to our own inner powers to heal, and two, that everybody can do it, you know?
Right. We're all amazing. And when we start to really get it, I mean, even me in going through my journey, if you would have told me that I was amazing or that I could do it, I would have never thought that I could heal myself. I mean, not really. And so it's mind expanding that we're all such incredible beings.
Yeah. Oh, And I think that's part of the journey, right? It's your own hero's journey to come up against yourself, even the belief that you think you can't do it, you know, to overcome that and actually heal. And I would love to dive into, before we jump into everything else, your actual transformation story and how you got over that false belief and are a living proof of what you practice, what you preach.
Absolutely. You know, I have to be honest, it is literally the last place that I ever thought that I would be in any of this. I mean, at the time I was injured, I had both a car accident and then I had a fall. And I literally went from, you know, working full time, I did network engineering and operations, I loved it, to spending most of my time in bed and injured, on morphine every day, in extreme pain. You know, it was a mess. Like on a good day, I could get out with my wheelchair or walker or cane. And on a bad day, I mean, I didn't make it out of bed and didn't even want to breathe at times because I was in so much pain. And that was my life for many years. And the idea of like healing yourself and all that, I mean, all that stuff was woo-woo. And then, you know, of course you find your stuff going, okay, well, I'll do anything. But that's, you know, I started doing the typical kind of route where I was trying diet and supplements, and then that wasn't working. And then, you know, a little bit of Reiki and acupuncture, and then that wasn't working. And so it really became like this journey of figuring out, okay, what is it that I really need to do to heal? Because when you start to actually look at it, it all makes logical sense. Even though I thought, you know, this stuff is woo woo. It's, you know, how is that even possible? You know? but ultimately, that's kind of ultimately what got me into seeing, well, wait a second here. We know the placebo works, and the placebo has been proven more than anything in history. I mean, every single medication has had to be tested against the placebo. And there's always a certain percentage of people who get better from just the placebo. And so I was like, whether my analytical mind wants to believe it or not, we have like magic in our minds. And when I found myself in a place where, you know, doctors were saying there was nothing they could do, and it was like giving up the rest of my life, I thought, you know, if I could just figure out the placebo and figure out what is that magic in our minds, that I could still get better. And it kind of just became holding on to that only hope was that. So, which by the way, you know, it's, so as I was looking at the placebo, I started also looking at other things in the mind, like, looking at the awareness that amputees, like over 80% of amputees still experience pain, or even multiple personality disorder. The fact that people can have multiple personalities, like different ailments when they're in different personalities, right? Have you seen that?
Yeah, and people's eyesight actually changes with different personalities too.
Yes, like even some people have been blind in one personality and then in another personality they can see. And I was like, okay, we are not looking at health in the right way. And that's what really led to my healing, is because then I started thinking, okay, well, we're not looking at health in the right way. And so I started looking at the mind and saying, okay, well, we know that emotions affect the physical body. And I thought, you know, yeah, that's lame. We all kind of know that, you know, it's simple. Like if somebody's embarrassed, their face turns red, or anxiety attack. And I thought, yeah, you know, it's common sense, but how much can emotions really affect the physical body? And then I started looking at things like bored to death and scared to death. And I thought, previously, I thought, you know, oh, it's just a figure of speech, you know, oh my God, I was so bored to death, or, oh, I was scared to death. But there are actually things like your heart can actually stop from being scared. And I thought, well, wait a second. We know of anxiety and we know embarrassed, even emojis know with the little blushing face that embarrassed can affect your little emoji face. You know, so we know that, and bored to death and scared to death, or even the widowhood effect, where a senior loses a spouse, can die much sooner, you know, and looking at that, I thought, well, if emotions can affect us to the point of death, why are we not even like taking these things into consideration at all? And then that's when things like MPD, multiple personality disorder, or now called DID, dissociative identity disorder, so whatever you want to call it, that's how we can, I was like, well, of course, no wonder why they can have such a radical result. They're shifting emotions between personalities. And so I thought, well, I just need a personality that's healed. And then this is all I need. Logically.
Easy peasy.
But that's what, easy peasy, right? Yeah. But really, it's like, not only are we looking at health in the wrong way, we're looking at emotions in the wrong way. And we're not really realizing that they are a part of our energy. And when we start to look at them in a different way, it becomes so expansive, not just for our health, but also for our life and what we're capable of and the power of energy. And, you know, I love the quote by Einstein that says, no problem can be solved from the same level of consciousness that created it. And if we look at healthcare, it's a problem. It's a growing problem. It hasn't got better. It's like the more effort we put towards it, the worse it gets. I mean, that was one thing. I mean, I was looking around and injured, it's like 1.5 billion people in pain. And I thought, well, if I'm going to get better, then I have to do something different than 1.5 billion people are doing. And that's when you really start looking outside of the box. So.
Yeah, the placebo and nocebo effect blew my mind too. When I started reading about that, I started reading Dr. Joe Dispenza's stuff years ago. And he has a book called You're the Placebo. And you start to get into it at first, you're like, huh, like it's a little too simple. And people just you just dismiss the placebo as something just nonchalantly. It's in any single study, they have to account for it. And
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. No, what's crazy is this also is that a lot of people think that the open label placebo has to do with the power of belief, right? Mm-hmm. But there's the open label placebo. And are you familiar? Have you heard of the open label placebo?
No, please tell us more.
Okay, so absolutely. So both the doctor and the patient know that it's a fake pill and it still gets results. And so that was like, even during my injury, because I first thought, you know, you have to send gratitude and then you have to meditate and then you have to just be grateful for your healing and you have to believe that it's going to happen. And I was trying that. And, you know, my engineer mindset was troubleshooting everything and going, okay, well, this is what you're supposed to do. And it's the power of belief. And then I came across the open label placebo and I was like, well, that's out the window. that can't be the key. And that's when I started looking more at the power of emotions and realizing that there's more emotionally going on, even with things like the placebo, that there's kind of like this. There was a study, and I believe it was in Brazil, on ayahuasca. And the placebo group for ayahuasca got like 80%, like 80% success rate with results, or somewhere close to 75, 80%, somewhere in there, with the placebo. And what they did with the group, which was interesting, is, of course, you know, when you take ayahuasca, you're supposed to, like, you throw up and things like that, right? So then, of course, the placebo group, they had to give them some type of concoction that was going to make them throw up, so they actually believe that they took it. But there's also an emotional shift. Like, there's like a novelty when it comes to ayahuasca. And so there's just, there's always so much more going on an emotional level than a lot of people realize consciously that's happening.
I love what you said. It's different than the power of belief. The emotions are what's kind of tying this all together. I would love to dive into that more because, you know, my mind's being blown. My paradigm was always with this was like, okay, your beliefs create your thoughts, that influence how you act, and you know, you're basically creating reality by the past and, you know, because of your beliefs. So how does the emotions connect to all of that? And I guess it kind of, what kind of model, you know, you're the engineer here. We can build us a new model.
Absolutely. And it's really exciting. And what you'll, as we're looking at the new model, I want to say that when we look at emotions, first and foremost, everybody's probably heard by now that, you know, if we look at emotions or energy, so we've heard of like emotions or energy in motion. But if you think about emotions, the fact that when we have an emotion, it, you know, we can look at it and say, okay, emotions are energy. And when we look at the emotions that are in the subconscious mind, so that's what I call like the core energy. So those are the, that's the energy that's going to come with you wherever you are. Whereas instead of like transmission energy, where you can think of something and then you might see a sign of it, or you can think of somebody and they call, or something like that. So that's our transmission energy is what I call it. But when we look at our emotions, obviously, like our emotions, they send out energy. And you could say, you know, our emotions are energy. They go into the quantum field and it helps attract things back. Or we could simplify it and say something like, you know, in psychology, we know if there's a woman who unfortunately has an abusive father, she could leave him and find the abusive boyfriend, boss, spouse, you know, all of that, right? And so we know that our emotions breed more of the same. It's not like she says, oh, yay, I want to manifest an abusive man. This is going to be great. Like, clearly. Instead, she's like, I want to find that guy who loves me, who I connect with and I adore. And then it's like the pattern repeats. And unfortunately, that's because of what's going on in that subconscious mind and its emotions. You know, it happens whether or not she knows that her mind is powerful, whether she doesn't know. A lot of times, you know, people are creating all the time their lives and they don't realize that they're actually creating. Obviously, we're getting more and more enlightened beings who are aware that we're all freaking awesome. So I love that. So the good thing is that we are going to talk about emotions, but when we look at them in an expanded way with the new level of consciousness, what's exciting is this, is that the emotions are affecting our health, but they're also attracting in our lives, just like with that example. And so what's really awesome and what I love about it is any health issue is like a check engine light in our body, if you will. Like, let's say somebody has a pattern of anger or a pattern of self-criticism or pattern of rejection or loneliness or hurt. And they have this pattern going on in a deeper level. And then it creates this check engine light, if you will, like some type of health issue. And when you address that pattern, then not only do you change your health because you've shifted that with your health, but you also shift your life. And that's what's really exciting. I think that's one of the funnest things about what I do is it's like, but there's a bigger picture. There's a gift in it all. And if we kind of break it, the model down even further, you know, when I mentioned going through the research and I started looking at embarrassed, face turns red and anxiety. Well, if you think about somebody with anxiety, it's an emotion and they don't have to believe they're going to get a panic attack to get one. And they don't have to believe it's going to stop for it to go away. Or even if you think about sexual thought. Sexual emotion creates a physical response, obviously different from men than women, but the physical response is there. And so it's an emotion. And, you know, even bored to death or scared to death. It's not like somebody says, oh, I'm scared to death. Now I believe that I'm going to die. Unfortunately, that emotion gets them. And so ultimately, what I started looking as I said, okay, well, we know about embarrassment. Even Emoji knows that. And we know about anxiety and we know sexual thought and all these things, but what about the rest of the emotions? Like, what are they doing? What about hurt? What about sadness? What about rejection? You know? And so ultimately that's what I started doing is looking deeper at emotions themselves. Now it's kind of a little bit of catch in this model. One thing is that, of course, we can see we've all heard before that stress affects the physical body. And what is stress? It's emotions. So we know that. Okay. And it has been proven even with psychoneuroimmunology. So we can look at that. That's been proven back in the 70s. So we know that stress affects the immune system. But wait a second. We can also see that there are people in the military or officers or firefighters or people who are plenty stressed. Who aren't sick. What's the difference? And basically what I figured out is it takes a certain combination of emotions. And the easiest way to illustrate that is if you think about if somebody wants to make cake. Well, if they have flour, they can't make cake. But if they mix it with eggs and butter and whatnot, then they can make the recipe for cake. And of course, a health issue is much different than cake, but ultimately, it takes a certain combination of emotions. And then that's when it shows up in the physical body. And so that's like after I got myself better from my own situation, that's what I started doing. I thought, you know, my engineer self thought, okay, nobody's going to ever believe that I got better. I mean, this sounds crazy. And so I thought, I want to show people that we're all amazing. Like everybody who's stuck like I am, who's told that they have no future, they're going to be in pain forever and all these things, it's not true. And if I could just show people that we're all amazing. And so that's ultimately what I started doing is I started, you know, long story short, ended up speaking on stages and I would take people from the audience who are experiencing pain and show them how to shift it. And then one time I thought, you know, people are going to think this is like a plant that I just like, that's some fake person. That's like, I told that person, yes, yeah, say you have neck pain and then say it disappears. And so that's the reason that I started doing it under thermography. Are you familiar with thermography, by the way?
I am. Yeah. I've also, I haven't specifically gotten done, but I know for some of getting mammograms, I've read a lot of research of getting thermography done first. So it's just measuring the amount of heat in your body or energy, really.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
It's heat. Yeah. Therm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's great for thermography or for, mammograms and, yes, and, you know, breast scans and all of that. And so that's what I thought. I thought, oh my God. Okay. So if I can use this to show pain, that would be amazing. And what it is for anybody who doesn't know is it's like a heat scan of the body. And if you've ever had any type of injury, swelling, bruise, cut, and you've ever put your hand over it before and you can feel heat coming from the injury, it's because our bodies, they create heat where we have infection or illness or ailments or things like that. And so what this scan does is it measures and it detects even those subtle changes. And so if I'm working with somebody who has neck pain, they're under the scan, you can see this big red area over the neck. And so then what I started doing is just coaching people to use their mind. And I would just coach them to use their mind to shift it out of pain. And you'll literally see the scan turn from red to green as their pain goes away. And that's what I'm doing is I target the specific emotions. And it's awesome.
So basically, you know, you need these special, I don't want to say negative emotions because I don't like saying, you know, lower vibrational emotions might be a better way to say it. To build this cake, to bake the cake for pain, for sickness, for illness. But essentially, you can build a rainbow, butterfly, you know, sprinkle fun cake of healing or health or happiness or joy. So it's essentially, I guess, if we're seeking scientifically, the hypothesis, once you've proven, you can do that the opposite, correct? Is that what basically you're doing? You're targeting those other emotions to balance it out?
Well, not just to balance it out. It's like if you take an ingredient out, then you can't mm-hmm. make the same cake. And these are like more like mud pies, not cakes. And so it's not the kind of cake you want. But what's great is it like even something like criticism. Let's say that somebody has a pattern of feeling criticized. So they had a critical mom or a critical dad, and then they have that pattern and it shows up in their relationship with their spouse and it shows up over and over and over. And if you think about somebody attracting that, and it's like no matter what they do, no matter where they go, attracting that and attracting that and attracting that in their life, who do they become by the time they're 80 or 90 or 100? You know, how much happiness did that take from them? And instead, if let's say at age 30, they say like, oh, well, I have this injury. Oh, what's connected to it? Oh, this pattern of criticism. I better heal that. And they do heal that and they really shift it. They go, okay, well, I'm going to look at this pattern and I'm really going to shift it on the inside. And then they start attracting, instead of critical people, they actually feel good about themselves. They attract accolades and accomplishments and feel good. Then how is their life by the time they're 80, 90, 100? And how much more did they enjoy life? How much more did they become? How much more did they live their fullest self? What was their level of happiness and joy and love and connection and success, you know? And so not only is it, it's a check engine like that says, hey, this is like ruining your life and you're going to want to change it. And then when you do, it just opens up the world in the most beautiful way.
Mm-hmm. Now, I saw this on your site and I have to ask you about it because I'm intrigued. Can you tell us why meditation does not work for healing? Because that's kind of the rage right now for healing yourself.
Right. And I tried it for years and it didn't work. And this is the thing is, you know, I used to do, as I mentioned, network engineering, and I had an MTTR of 4 hours, mean time to repair of 4 hours. So if something broke and it was not up in 4 hours, my goal was, you know, troubleshooting, get it up in 4 hours, then like it wasn't good. And so as I was going through my injury, I had been meditating more than 4 years. I'm like, this is not good. Like, I need faster results. And this is why. I mean, honestly, there are so many reasons why. But first and foremost, all of the time, like even somebody that I had worked with earlier this week, she was somebody that felt very overwhelmed in her life. Overwhelm. And then she would meditate every day. And then she felt overwhelmed. And then she'd meditate every day and overwhelm and meditate. Okay. Now, if you stop and think about it for a moment, she's more so using meditation as like an escape. Okay. And instead would want to look at and say, well, why are you feeling overwhelmed and how do we change that pattern? Now, what was interesting about that pattern of overwhelm that was actually linked to her health issue is that pattern of overwhelm, her mom growing up used to talk about how lazy people were, just, you know, lazy and blah. And so she had all of this negative programming towards lazy. So she was exact opposite and thought, I got to do this and I got to do this and I can't sit down. And if I sit down, I'm lazy. Okay. So now if you think about it, if she has this programming that says, if I sit down, I'm lazy. So she has this, all this overwhelm. Okay. And which, by the way, then led to a health issue. Okay. Now, if you think about it, if her health issue was her quote unquote opportunity to sit down, because with the health issue, then she then has an out to be able to at least give herself a little bit of a break. But without it, then she just goes back into overwhelm. And meditating isn't going to help then. It's just kind of checking out. And it didn't actually change the pattern. And so there are a lot of things, a lot of problems with meditation. That is one of them, is that people start using it as a mode of escape. And what you really want to do is you really want to look at something and transform it. So if she said overwhelm, it's like, wait a second, how can I go from overwhelm to feeling fierce and productive and like I'm on top of the world and confident and like things are efficient and getting done. There we go. So Lauren, you got moving.
I want some of that. Yeah.
Right. You got your hands in the air. You're like, yeah, I love that energy. You're beautiful. So if you think about it, instead of just checking out and going, oh my God, my day was overwhelming, now I'm going to meditate. Oh my God, my day was overwhelming. Now I'm going to meditate. You go, wait a second, my day's overwhelming and this is bothersome. And what do I want to transform it to? Wait, I want to feel like productive, efficient, confident, like I had a great day, and wrap that up and feel that over and over. And so that's one reason. I mean, even there's another thing, and it's with silent meditation. So if you think about it for a moment, let's say that you and I are meditating right next to each other. And every time a thought comes up, we dismiss it. And a thought comes up and we dismiss it. Now, you would have different thoughts coming up in your mind than I would in my mind, because where they come from is our subconscious mind. And ultimately, what you end up doing is training your brain to ignore all of the information in your subconscious mind. Eek. Now, the reason this is a problem is a few things. first and foremost, whatever we train our brain to do, we get good at. Kind of like this, is that if you've ever driven somewhere before and like, and you got to your destination and you were like, did I stop at the last stoplights because you were on autopilot? Your brain will start doing things on autopilot for you, or even something simple like tying your shoes. You know, when you teach, if you've ever taught like a little kid how to tie your shoes where you have to stop and actually think about it and go, okay, well, rabbit ears, the circle, you know, and you think about it in that way, you have to stop and slow down. But your brain has gotten so used to it, you just tie them and you're done and you don't even think about it. Well, when you meditate over and over in a way where anytime a thought comes up, you brush it aside, and a thought comes up and you brush it aside, you literally train your brain to ignore the things in your subconscious mind. Now, the subconscious mind controls 90 to 95% of your brain. And so if you really want to make a real change in your life and in your patterns, or even that woman with the abusive father, and I use that example, then what she would need to do is really look at what's going on in her subconscious mind and look at it and transform it. And what unfortunately happens is when you meditate a lot, you become numb to it. So then you don't really feel like it's a problem. You don't know it's a problem. Sometimes you can't even see that it's a problem because you've trained your brain not to look at it. And so that's another reason. So there's so many reasons why, you know, and why you wouldn't want to just meditate. Now, I want to be very clear, because if you're calling meditation like a visualization where you're visualizing life getting better and better, that's a different feeling. Like you're visualizing, oh my God, life is going to be more amazing. I see myself happy and successful and fabulous and loved. Awesome. That you do want to do because you're programming more information in your mind. Where the problem comes is when you're training your brain to check out, like overwhelm, check out. And not only does it make it harder to transform, but the other thing that I see is that with things like Alzheimer's, when I work with somebody with Alzheimer's, a lot of times the emotion that I find there is the mental escapism. And what's crazy is that sometimes it has to do with people escaping into TV. You know, their day is stressful, so they come and just check out in TV. Even today, earlier today, I checked into a woman's energy who would love to just, her escape was books. And she would escape into the fiction of a book. So stressful life, go escape into a book. And so it's not just meditation in itself. It's the habit of mental escapism, of feeling like life is stressful, I need to check out. Life is stressful, I'm going to watch TV. Life is stressful, I'm going to read a book. Whatever it is, instead you want to say, oh, if my life is stressful, I'm going to freaking change that because I'm amazing and I'm fabulous and game on. And that's the energy that you really want to have, that transformation.
And I will add another example, because I think so many people now, it's social media. It's the scrolling and not even looking and just, you know, scroll. And yeah, I agree with what you say with meditation, and how I meditate is how you describe visualization. And I would love to hear what you have to think about this. In the morning, I like to rehearse how I want my day to go, but also long-term visualize what I, you know, how I want to feel, and visualize me practicing that. And at the end of the day, from the most observational point, almost like a day audit, I audit my day. I audit my actions and my emotions. Where did I go unconscious? So for me, I use the word unconscious for escapism. Where did I start scrolling on social media? Where did I want to go sit in front of the TV and, you know, just mindlessly eat food? And what happened before that? What was I thinking before that? How was I feeling before that? What was coming up during that time? And if I could do that differently again, what would I do? What would I choose differently? What would I act differently? What would I feel differently? So I would love to hear your thoughts on that, because that's my practice. It's worked so well so far, but maybe I can improve it.
I love that. And if I was going to just, it's so funny, you know, with me and my team, I always say, you know, we're tweakers. It's always about tweaking things. Like, we take things and we tweak them and all of that. And I would say that for the average person, so let's just not say you specifically, but we'll say for the average person, that could end up feeling critical, which could actually attract feelings of criticism. And then it might start showing up in relationships, like a husband or partner or family or whatnot. And so I love the daytime, that the morning time. That's awesome. And I would say, what if the daytime was actually everything you did great, that you did do this and this went great and this went great. And then, like, once a week being like, okay, I'm going to evaluate one thing that I could do this week that I'm, or two things that I'm going to do that maybe this was a little bit off and I'm going to tweak this. And then just so that's what I would balance, a little bit more accolades and a little less. That would be the one maybe.
I like that. And I did not mention, I do the celebration, you know, that's the main part of my evening too. It's, you know, celebrate, you know, what being
good times,
good time, you know, what
celebrate good times.
Yeah,
come on.
Basically. Like, no one's hear me sing. I digress. So we talk a lot about health in our lives, and you know, this is, it's a multi-dimensional, multi-layered thing. When you start shifting the way that Brandy's talking about, the way you're talking about, I know you also help teach people, and more so empower people, to really heal their abundance, their wealth mindset. I'm sure we know how it's kind of all tied together, but how does this tie together with money and your abundance?
I mean, in so many ways. First and foremost, in my own, I had been like on disability for 7 years, you know, and I don't know where are you located?
I'm in Columbus, Ohio, Midwest.
Columbus, Ohio. Yeah. I like that. Yay, Columbus, Ohio. I am in California. And if you've ever seen California real estate, you cannot afford a house payment when you're on disability. And so, especially 7 years long. And so I found myself in a really bad financial spot. So once I got better, I was like, oh my God, now I'm going to use the same things that I learned with my health and transform my wealth and my abundance and all of that. And then I started helping other people do that. So it's really fun. And what's amazing is that a lot of people don't realize just how much our finances are controlled by our subconscious mind and our energy, and that you really can get incredible results. And I'm sorry, but we're amazing beings. We are just freaking phenomenal. And the easiest way to describe it is, you know, most people want more money. If not, almost everybody at some level wants to have more money for their life, you know, to have a better house or food or, you know, everybody at some level, something, right? And what can happen is some people don't even want to say that because they feel bad or they feel guilty or they feel wrong or they feel, you know, like it's wrong to feel that way. And then they're struggling to get by and they're having a hard time paying their bills and they're stressed about money and it's impacting their relationship. Now, on a bigger picture, when you look at it, people who are wealthy tend to live about 10 years longer than people who are extremely poor. And when you stop and look at it for a moment, you realize that financial stability and security is that important. I mean, it's estimated here in the US somewhere around 75% of people, somewhere in that ballpark, are stressed financially. And I would assume probably, I mean, even with COVID and everything else, that number probably has gone up and down in different areas and whatnot. So, you know, it really just depends. But when you stop and think about the awareness that we know that stress impacts the physical body, and then you think about a lot of people feeling stressed financially, it's just not a great combination. Now, when it comes to money, there are several ways the mindset affects what you're creating. And it's because, one, you know, people will want more money. And then they feel bad, or they feel like guilty, or they feel wrong. And so it's kind of like driving the car with one foot on the gas and the other foot on the brake and wondering how far you go. And that's why a lot of people feel that way towards money, is it feels like a struggle. Like they feel like they want more money, but then it's bad, or it's not good, or it's blah, blah, blah. And one of my things that I had to realize, because I had thought, oh, money is bad. But then I was like, wait a second. Mother Teresa was a millionaire. And when I started looking, I was like, wait a second. And she did a lot of great things for the world. And you know, I really had to create some reframes and start looking at money in a different way. Because even if you give a charity money, they can do great things with it. And so you start to really look at it. I actually think that, you know, there's so many great things about money. Money creates people to want to grow and do more and go to college or grow, and not say that college is perfect for everybody, but just saying, you know, it expands people and makes them want to grow. And, you know, whereas I came into my injury, that's what woke me up to self-awareness of my mind and the power of my mind. There are plenty of people who come into personal development because they want to make more money, and that helps part of their journey of awakening. And so there's just so many great things about it. But I would say that the key thing you'll want to really know is, of course, that your subconscious mind is creating your abundance or lack thereof, and that really not meditating to escape the patterns that are there, but instead really looking at the patterns that are going on in the subconscious mind and shifting them. And that it's powerful.
Oh yeah. And I mean, I'm so entrenched in the world of like manifesting, you know, I hear crazy stories about people, random checks coming in the mail, or, you know, when they start shifting these energies and these beliefs. And that just happened to us this week, and like a pretty large sum that I was like, are you sure? Like, is that right? And I was like, holy crap. You know, like once you start showing up and shifting things and doing work like Brandy helps empower so many people to do, you're just like, holy, like it's like, it's a reminder that we're all just energy, and it's like life is a game essentially. And it's fun. It can be fun.
It's fun. Yeah. I literally went from being on disability to my first year off of disability. I made 6 figures, and the next year I made 6 figures by February 8th.
Wow. So, yeah. You go, girl. That's awesome.
Why, thank you. And but this is what I would say, is that I got to, like, when I really look at the energy of everything, where people say, oh, well, checks just started showing up. And can that happen? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And some people, I would say that there's this, is that a lot of people will want, like I see plenty of people who want checks to just show up and they don't want to do anything at all. And I would say part of the reason that checks show up for you when you align with money is because you're also living your purpose, and that money isn't going to stop you from living your purpose. Instead, it's going to help you to live more of your purpose. Now, some people would say, my purpose is just to sit on the couch all day, and if money just comes and shows up, then yay. And in that case, money would stop you from living your actual purpose to show up more. And so the person who says, well, I just want to sit on the couch and I just want money to show up and land at my feet, it's not typically going to happen. But if the person who says, I'm living my purpose and I am living more, and if I have the money, it's just going to make me live more of my purpose, not say, oh, I'm going to hang my hat and do nothing for the rest of my life. I would say that, so there's, because we all have a reason here. We all have a purpose. And, you know, even sometimes people think, oh, I want a bigger purpose, or I need a different purpose. But what's fascinating to me is that, you know, mentioned, of course, that I did network engineering prior to my injury, which keeps coming up. But that, without doing that, I couldn't do what it is that I do today, because that was troubleshooting 40 to 60 hours a week. And basically, I worked with a network in telecommunications, and I would identify what the problem is and create rapid results to bring things back online. And now exactly what I do, and troubleshooting and figuring it out, because I had been meditating for years. And all of the time I see people who have been meditating and working on their energy for 20, 30, 40, 50 years or more. I mean, that's common. Like I, you know, even on my podcast, like I'll take people who are in extreme pain and show them how to release their pain in minutes. And a lot of them have been working on shifting their energy for 20, 30, 40 years. And they go, oh my God, you can get results this quick. And so you can, it's incredible. And so my point is that I couldn't do what I do today without having the background that I did. And so a lot of times people will say, well, you know, what I do isn't spiritual. I work in technology, or I work in this, or I work in that. And I would say to me, I love the term spiritful. And it's because people have a limited idea a lot of times of spiritual. It needs to fit in a box. It has to work with energy. And I'm like, but real estate is spiritful because somebody's buying their new house and they're living fully in life and they're happy and they're falling in love, or they're having a new baby and they want to expand their location or whatever it is. And it's about living spiritful. And so I would just say to some people, when I say, you know, purpose, they feel like I'm not good enough or I'm not doing enough. And the biggest way to just grow and expand is to live spiritful. And of course, as you're living spiritful, that also helps the money flow in. So,
yeah. And full disclaimer, when I started saying that, it came in through my partner randomly, because I am doing my spirit's purpose and building, it'll be launched by this time, but I'm building my course Anxious to Aligned. And the deeper I dived into that, that's what happened. And my partner, he's a recruiter, and he, you know, he's like, I've had this discussion with him multiple times, but I'm like, do you know what you're doing for these people? You're finding them jobs. You're providing this abundance and this income so they can take care of their families. And when you get into that mindset, it's a simple but huge shift. And you can start to live your job and your life spirit full, like you said. And it's so interesting, the more I do my purpose and shift things in my life, spirit and abundance are showing up, typically through him or other sources, not directly for what I'm doing yet, but it's like promoting, like, you know. And before, just right. Like you said, when I wasn't doing it, things were coming up, bills, things that were out of the opposite, where I was like, what is going on? So yeah, just little reaffirmation on what you're talking about. And I will say something that really helped me. I was previously married, and when I was paying the divorce attorneys, I would pay it. This is a huge shift for people paying bills. Every time I pay my credit card bills to this day, or any type of whatever, I pay it and I come to this place for I called it my freedom rent for my divorce attorneys, because I was shifting into the state of, you know, my peace of mind, my freedom, my happiness is worth this, it's priceless. And so with any bill, I get into that state and just, I thank my bill. I think I'm grateful for money and this value that I have for, you know, buying groceries, going out to dinner, my yoga membership, whatever it is. And for me, that's helped build awareness. I know that doesn't solve the, you know, all these money issues, if you will, but it allows me to build this awareness of how I look at money and shifting it more into this view of it's just energy, really.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would say another, for anybody out there who's been struggling in this area, I would say the way to also start to really know if you're more aligned or less aligned with money is how you feel about it, and also how you have ideas flow in. Meaning, you know, most people by now have heard the phrase, you know, multiple streams of revenue, where it's like somebody has a stream of revenue from here and here and here. So there's like multiple sources of revenue, right? And somebody who's not so aligned with money is thinking, but I just want one stream of revenue. I mean, and they're feeling that struggle and strain towards that, Okay. Now, whereas if you take that mindset and you start creating shifts and you start creating shifts, then you also have this thing where you go, oh my God, well, I could do this for money and I could do this for money. And you start just having these ideas, and maybe they were already there, but you start having these ideas and then you start taking action on them. And, you know, I mentioned in my own life, like that I started experiencing a radical shift. And even like one of my first ones is that I had thousands of CDs, right? So I had thousands of, I could, through my injury, all that, like I love music. Music is just one of my loves in life. So I had thousands of CDs, and I'm, as I'm sitting there in my house, had been on disability, wasn't being able to pay my bills, all of these things. And then I was working on my energy towards money. And this was, you know, I got better. And when I was healing was 2009, right in there. And I had put all of my CDs on my iPod. That's when the iPod was big at that time, all of that. So I didn't really need all my CDs because I never, I mean, I had thousands. It was to even lift one of those, I couldn't lift one of the cases anyway, because they were all in cases. I mean, you know, like those stacked books of CDs. So anyway, so I went and sold them to a used CD store and got a couple thousand dollars, which then helped me to pay my mortgage and my blah, blah, blah. So it was ideas started coming to me, and then I started taking action on them. Now they had been there the whole time, but I was so blocked and stressed when it came to money, it was never a thought that came into my head, but I had this thought and then I took action on it. And then I had another thought and I took action on it. And I just kept doing that as I aligned more and more. And so, you know, and so the reason I say that is just because I've seen a lot of people who, unfortunately, also in the energy manifesting world space, they go, okay, well, I'm just going to manifest money and I'm going to sit on my couch and I'm going to wait for it to arrive. And then, and I feel badly before them. I have a lot of compassion because they think it's just going to happen and they never take any action on anything. And so I want to put that caveat out there that it took me action, and that action led to another action that led to another action. And they all, you know, the more I just aligned, the more the action felt good and wonderful and fabulous. And even now what I do, like, I love it. And I even loved network engineering. I loved that. Now I put my loves together to help work with people on their mind. And so, and healing. And so just if you notice an action and you feel an inspired action, or you have an idea, don't feel like, oh, I don't want to take action on it. Instead, take the action, do it and have fun with it. So just that.
Agreed. Aligned action. That's so important. I just looked at the time, Brandy. I would love to keep talking for hours and hours, but we have to sadly wrap this show up. Was there anything else you wanted to wrap up or talk about before we start to close the show for today?
I mean, no, it's just that. Just, I would say that, you know, I know what it felt like to feel disempowered and stuck and not be getting the results and trying and struggling, and just we're all amazing. And if you're wanting to get results, just really look at changing on the inside, a real change.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, thank you so much for changing yourself, believing that you could change, and also sharing with all of your clients, past, present, and future, and with us today. I know I am so grateful to have you on the show, and I know so many of the listeners will be so excited for this episode to come out. And I always close every show this way. How may we, the listeners, as an act of gratitude, be of service for you in return today?
I mean, ultimately, what I would love is, let's see, on my website, there is, if you go to brandygilmore.com/C, there is a video of me working with somebody under thermography, and where you can actually see the change take place. And I think it's like working with her like 10 or 15 minutes, and you see it under the thermal medical equipment. And if you're somebody who's been struggling or having a hard time, then I'd recommend just feeding that to your mind and feeling empowered, because I would love to see, as I'm sure Lauren would also love to see, our world shift to people not feeling hopeless and sick and stressed, but people feeling empowered and joyful and loved and grateful and spiritful. And so And so ultimately, the more people who believe they can and the more people who follow through to do it and make a change, the better the world is going to be for all of us and empowered and all of that. So that would be what, if you're somebody who's been having a hard time really feeling like you can get the results, check it out and believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm. And always, if you guys are interested in this episode, one, follow up like Brandy said, but two, share it. Share it with a loved one. Share it with your friends. Anybody, if you feel like spirit or intuitively like, oh, my mom needs to hear, my mom would love to hear this or whatever, that's a sign for pass it along. You never know what little breadcrumbs the universe is sending them or sending you. That's always, I always have to plug that because I know I've had a lot of messages come through podcasts before in my life. And one of the reasons why I started it.
You're spot on, and sharing it can make a bigger difference in somebody's life and future and happiness, and absolutely share it with those you love. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, thank you so much, Brandy, for coming on the show today. It was such a delight talking with you and listening and having my mind blown a lot of it through the whole episode.
Lauren, thank you so much for having me. I just love your energy and you're so sweet and I just adore you.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.